Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You're listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadijah Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride.
All right, welcome back. We are from our big break. We're missing Khadijah tonight because she is still driving, but we are all wearing, if you can't see, well, I guess they can't, our matching sweatshirts. Why are we wearing these, guys?
Because women's sports are awesome.
Women's sports are awesome.
I guess we should tell people what they say since this is a podcast.
Because they can't read our minds right through their ears.
So this is our Women's Sports Fan Club sweatshirt, which is part of the... Oh, yeah. Sarah's going to show you the back. It says Women's Sports Fan Club. There you go. It's part of the Feisty Watch Women Sports collection. So here's the big question, guys. The 28-year-olds designed these. Do you feel super cool and on trend?
I need to know if it's trendy because, I mean, I do now.
Yeah. So they sent me a size large because the oversized look is like the trend right now, which feels very much like high school in the 90s.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're pulling it off?
Okay. Another thing that's going to age us. Do you remember the Hair Club for Men commercial where the guy was like, I'm not just a hair club president. I'm also a member or a client, whatever he said.
Yes.
So I love the fact that I'm not just an athlete. I'm also a fan club member.
You know? There you go.
Women's sports fan club
member. Yeah. We gotta support our people. Yeah.
There's also a very also on trend hat that says watch women's sports and a tote. Right. See?
So trendy. All of it.
I have these Nike high tops that are very cool too. Also from the Feisty squad. And I tried to pull them off this weekend with my oversized sweatshirt. And I felt like it was a whole thing. Felt very cool.
Matchy, matchy. Like your outfit of the day.
Right. Exactly.
Nice. Nice work. So is that why the sweatshirt may or may not smell like cat vomit?
Right, so I had to go get my sweatshirt out of the wash because I have, like, sweatshirts that, like, you know, you throw them on the couch. They're, like, sitting on the couch. And the cats sleep on them. And I picked this one up, and I was like, what is... I think one of the cats might have had, like, a hairball on the sweatshirt.
They're very super trendy. Out.
Yeah,
super
very trendy. That's also on trend, just so you know.
It's, like, your favorite thing to wear right now, which reminds me of... So my daughter turns 3 this weekend. Her favorite thing to wear right now is her Elsa dress, like every day. So we have to also wash it regularly or it will smell bad.
It'll smell bad.
I feel like you're wearing your sweatshirt so much that you gotta wash it pretty regularly.
Exactly.
That's cute. Yeah. You're basically the same as a toddler.
That's what I'm getting from this, yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. As the youngin in the group. All right. Well, today we are going to do our Ask Us Anything, Ask Me Anything, AUA episode. And we have a bunch of questions, guys. Some of them are very, very serious. Like, why does Kelly hate croissants? And we will tackle all the super serious questions after the break. And then we will get to, there were some training questions. People want to know how we can help them get faster, which is crazy.
Which we should take seriously.
Yeah, take seriously nutrition. I don't know. So we'll do all of that after this break. Okay, you guys, I'm opening my AMA document. Sorry, so you guys, some of these I feel like I'm just going to quick fire at you. Okay, quick fire.
Okay. Let's do
it. What
are
your favorite snacks before, during, after? Go.
Before, I like toast and peanut butter.
I like a banana and coffee.
Hard-boiled eggs in the bag. You just eat them. And it's amazing. Sarah's like,
no.
In a bag. It's the bag. It's, yeah, it's in a bag.
You can buy them already pre-peeled. I should have just said pre-peeled. So you just like don't have to peel them. I'm all about.
Yeah, the peeling is really annoying.
Exactly.
Okay, right now I have this mental image of you smelling like cat vomit, eating hard-boiled eggs.
All right, after. Stinky. Favorite snack after.
Stinky. Okay. After, I like eggs after.
Yeah. But not before.
But not before.
I feel like everything. I mean, whatever. There's not anything specific. It's like, if I'm like on the road, then definitely like to leave like a bar. Bonk breaker bars in the backpack. See,
that's my during.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
After, there's this bakery. It's called Rustic. It's like, you know, like the local chain, like, you know, the things that have like, they're massive chains locally. You know what I mean? But then like Nobody outside of an area knows it. Right. So they have like 5 stores here and they're like, it's like a super long line on the weekends. It's crazy. And sometimes I go swimming just to go to Rustic after. And so I always get the avocado toast with the like nice, like, and the eggs on top and then an Arnold Palmer. It's key. Mm.
Yeah. Wait, so you do eggs before and after?
Sometimes. I texted my sister one day and I was like, how many eggs is too many eggs to eat in one day? And so we had this whole discussion.
So what's the answer?
We decided 5 was okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Although I feel like I do eat a lot of bananas before and after. Not during. Oh. It's a little annoying to eat during.
Yeah, don't eat a banana during. I know some people do, but Sarah's making another
you can't thing. You can't go wrong with baked goods.
Croissants. All right, that brings us to question number 2. Kelly, why do you hate croissants? And I feel like I just have to, I think this just keeps coming up. I don't hate croissants. I just think they are highly overrated, much like bacon or the entire country of France, right? These things are highly overrated.
Don't you talk about bacon that way.
Okay, so what food is underrated?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm a big avocado fan, and I feel like in some cases, like, avocado is just way too underrated. You can put
no way.
But obviously, it's huge now. So it's like, that doesn't seem right. So what do you think is underrated?
No, you have to say like rutabaga, you know, okay. Like something.
Or beets. Mm, beets had beets, their moment.
They did.
They did, yeah.
It's kind of waned.
Now I'm trying to think of what I eat. Well, what do you think? That
underrated Nutella? Not underrated.
No, it's not underrated enough. No. See, we're like, we're rejecting everyone's underrated.
I feel,
you know,
like,
what I'm going to go with? Pre-peeled, hard-boiled eggs. Massively underrated, yeah.
They're not as good as freshly, but I feel like you have to weigh out like ease of use.
Exactly. I'm all about like what's worth it too, right? Like what's like cost-benefit. Tarts are really good. If you're always, you guys are always bothering me about like what French pastries do I like if I don't like croissants.
Mm-hmm.
You know those little like tarts that like
fruit tarts,
fruit tarts,
yeah, like the custard good. Fruit tarts. Yeah, those are amazing.
Those are amazing.
Yeah.
So there you go. Ready? Next question. This is a serious one, guys.
Okay.
What is your biggest triathlon regret? Now this could be anything: races, food, gear, training, or dating. The people want to hear about your dating triathlon regrets. Like thinking.
Mm.
Mm.
I have a more serious triathlon regret. When I was racing professionally, and I don't think I brought this up before, but they always talk about how there's equal prize money for men and women. But I did do some races where there was not equal prize money. And so my regret is there was the race in France, Embrunman. And then there was a smaller iron distance race I did in Korea where the men made significantly more than the women. And at the time I was a rookie pro, and I think I was just grateful to have a spot on the start line. And like looking back, like I was like such a feminist in high school. And so I feel like my teenage self would have been horrified that I just never, like, I didn't have the courage to like stand up and be like, I don't want to race this race because you should be paying me just as much as the men. So I do regret that. So the race I did in Korea, I won the women's race and I was second overall. And if I was a man, then the second overall man would have made more money than the female winner.
Oh, interesting.
That's,
I see what you're saying.
Dumb.
It's dumb. Well, and then they had the 8% rule. So I think me and the male winner were the only ones that made prize money. So it's not like they couldn't have given me more.
I also thought the 8% rule was dumb on a side point.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. Yeah, that's when you had to finish within 8% of the winner's time.
Right.
So yeah, so I did beat all the other men other than the first guy. But yeah, there wasn't any, like we were the only two that made the prize money. So it's not like there wasn't prize money that have gone more to me. But yeah, I do regret not like having the courage to stand up and be like, give me more prize money. I deserve it.
Yeah. What? So what's the statute of limitations on this? Can you go back to the race director? Like, hey, I did this race. It's been a little while, but I think you owe me.
I want my money now. With interest.
Yeah. It's taken me a few years to work up the courage, but.
You know what, though? Honestly, like, sometimes it's really hard to be like, oh, I'm going to make a stand on that. You have to, like, brace yourself. And even, like, on things that are, like, little things where you're not going to lose money. Like, I don't know how many times I'm like, oh my God, I have to like brace myself for this fucking argument. And it's hard. Which I guess maybe, okay. So I'll say like, I can't think of like, I don't know. Okay. Biggest regret. You know, like when you say something and then you play it over your head for like months and months and months.
Oh, like I should have said that.
Right. But like, so, but like, and the actual details like don't matter. And like, nobody else remembers and nobody cares. Those things particularly, are like over, like running triathlete and like finding myself in a position where people like weirdly hung on to some things I said in passing. There are like some things that I'm like 2 years later still like, why did I say, like, it came out of my mouth wrong. Like there were a whole bunch of thoughts in my head and the last thing came out and now that's the thing that they're going to remember for, and it still comes up and I would take that back. That's like, that shit drives, that's really annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. My biggest regret is, my coaches, my first like coaches, basically taught me that I needed to be in a group environment and I like had to travel around the world and, you know, that created a dependency. And I wish that I had learned early on to create structure around wherever I was and like, you know, develop autonomy and self-efficacy. Nice. A little earlier.
Yeah.
That sounds like some grad school coming into play right there.
Comes with age and wisdom. Because I was in a similar training environment where it was like, if you weren't with the squad, like you were never going to get the same results as when you were training with that squad.
I feel like whenever coaches say you will not be good unless X, like that's always to be like, whoa, because like,
yeah,
people can be good in any like endless number of ways. So if a coach is trying to tell you that like the only way is this X way, like they're probably wrong and also they're controlling. And that should be like a this doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's you should be coaching the individual and helping them flourish in whatever environment works for them. And sometimes that's not living out of a suitcase.
You know what? On that, since we're on the topic of regrets and like coaching environments, right? I've been going on this whole working on something on like toxic training environments and coaches, even if they're not like, even if there's nothing they're doing, you know, illegal or whatever, right? Like there can be such, and I was looking back at all of my coaching environments and I can think of all these times where there were like the hints of that I was controlling, and I just like fled the other way. And then I was like, oh man, is that why I was never good? Because I was always like, nope, I'm out.
No, good for you. We are going to shelve this for next week, but we're talking about Mary Kane next week.
Oh, okay. Ooh, should we see if she'll come on? One of the things I want to do in the new year is have more guests on our rides. Maybe we should invite her for a ride with us.
We need to talk about the settlement, but not for this week. This week's all about our listeners' questions.
All about our listeners. Here's the next question then. Are you ready? Next question was Thanksgiving theme. What are you grateful for?
Wait, I didn't get to talk about dating regrets.
Oh, all right. We're just going to stay on this regret question. Hold that thought.
Say being in your 20s, you're like young and dumb and stupid.
But isn't that like what you're supposed to be? Like, how is
that? Yeah, I know. I know. It's okay.
Is that all you had? I'm like, I'm waiting for more details.
Well, no, I was going to go into more, but I don't want to name names.
No, we are not about...
We have heard about that regret.
You have heard about that regret. It's just someone that's still in the triathlon space pops up frequently.
You know what?
We weren't recording then, though.
With triathlon, though, here's my advice. Ready for our listeners? Are you ready? Triathlon's a small fucking universe, okay?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be dumb and stupid in your 20s, that's cool. It's fine. That's like what it's for. But you should do that outside of triathlon if you plan to stick around. Because you're just going to run into them every goddamn race.
Yeah. Well, then that's kind of why I married a non-triathlete. It's like totally not in this space at all.
I mean, fine, later, like when you're ready to settle down, marry a triathlete, like whatever, sure. I'm just saying, if you want to fuck around, like maybe do it in like the running space, right? And then like you don't have to see them all the time. It's a different universe. Sarah's like thinking about that. She's like,
Yeah, no, I am thinking about other people who have, you know, tread in the triathlon waters and gotten it a bit muddy. And I am going to back up that sentiment right there. I've tried to avoid dating triathletes. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Yeah. Are we ready to move on to the more positive?
What are we thankful for?
Yeah.
What are we thankful for?
Are you thinking?
I'm thankful for pie.
Oh, yeah. You always have to be thankful for desserts. I am thankful for sleep.
Okay. It's going to sound dumb, but I actually really like California, especially this time of year when everyone's bitching about their state. And like, I'm like really like glad to live here. It's like such a nice place. It's great.
Grateful for California. Yeah. I'm grateful for my parents who are here with us for 6 weeks from California, braving the freaking cold, but it's like built in babysitting and it's amazing. Although I hear her crying right now because she probably doesn't want to go to sleep and grandma's trying to make her sleep.
My sister is having her first kid at the end of December and she's been like, I'm going to visit in January and my parents are going to, and she's been like, she doesn't want everyone to visit at the same time. And I keep being like, I think you might want the babysitting like sooner than later.
Maybe she's like trying to spread people out.
Yeah, she doesn't want like everyone to descend when it's still like I get that for sure. So,
well, what's nice about, because the first like couple weeks you are hormonally just so messed up that you don't need the help then because you don't really sleep.
You're just like messed
up. It's just like when you crash after that initial, I guess, not high. Right. It's just your brain is whack-a-doodle. Yeah. That's a professional term.
That's a good, yeah, that sounds like a grad school term. Just like was the other one, self-efficacy and whack. There we
go. So you're going to be an auntie? Is this your first niece or nephew?
Yeah, well, why is, everyone always says, is it her first? Which I think is such a good question.
No, is it? Is it your like, first?
Yeah, well, it's my only sister. Niece? She's my only sister. So it's like a, so yeah. So I'm going to go up there after endurance exchange, guys. I'm going to fly up right after and visit her. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Are you ready for our last question before we take a short break?
Yeah.
Here's our last question. Help us get our bikes back.
Yeah, with the movie we're making. Do you think Leslie Patterson listens to this podcast and she could make the movie that we talked about?
Okay. Does making the movie help people get their bikes back?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because it's going to be so popular. that
doesn't it take like 5 years to make a movie? By then the bikes are gonna be so obsolete where it's like, you know, the equivalent of riding like a 9-speed, you know.
Somebody suggested that they start a GoFundMe to like raise the money to pay off the $300,000 and get
and there was back. Like someone had set up a GoFundMe, and when I checked on it again, it had gotten taken down.
Yeah, I'm like, not in I mean, it's like, on the one hand I was like, I'm not sure that's legal, but then I was like, I don't know why. Yeah. It wouldn't be like, you could pay someone else's debt, like you know those people who are like buying up medical debt and then like erasing it.
Yeah
So I'm like, I'm sure you could like pay someone else's debt, right? Like that's
so the question, can you help us get our bikes back? Like, I don't think we have an extra 300 grand, but no. We can help get the word out, but there's no longer that GoFundMe, and we don't know why it got taken down.
I think it's not, I think GoFundMe has like rules.
Going back to Jocelyn's idea.
About the movie, the heist. Yes.
Forget the movie. We just go straight to the heist. So
we do the heist ourselves.
No, not us. We're going to outsource to professionals.
Okay. Sure,
obviously. So if we have any professionals, you know,
professional heisters?
Heisters.
Are there any professional heisters who listen to the podcast? We have some friends who have some bikes in a storage container, and we could use your help.
Yeah, this makes sense.
They slide into our DMs. I'm pretty sure that's how these things work, right?
Yeah.
It's on the dark web.
Yeah. When you want to hire like a dark web, this is how you advertise for it. Definitely.
Triathlon podcast.
All right. I mean, how else would you get them back though? I mean, the debt needs to get paid off, or they need to be stolen back. Those are the two options.
I think you could also sue. I think that's the third option.
Where is the container? Is it still in Spain?
I think it's no. It's moving around. It's moving around. It's from like Chicago. It was in North Carolina, then it's in Chicago, then it's in LA. It's moving.
Do we know any pirates?
According to people whose air tags are like on their bikes, that's what they say.
I feel like a pirate could do this. Because they're on like barges, right?
Oh, the shipping containers now I think are like on trucks.
Okay. Lance pirates.
I don't think they split up the bikes. Maybe they split up the 180 bikes to confuse everybody, because I don't see how it's beneficial to move them around.
I don't know that I believe that. People were just like, oh, my air tag keeps moving. And I was like, I mean, how accurate are air tags? Maybe it got fried, whatever. Anyway, because it just pings off cell phones, you know? So, anyway. Those are our solutions. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to be back with more Ask Us Anything questions.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
Chasing epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocoast Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored heel to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heel chocolate. How do you like it? How does it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's Aminoco, aminoco.com/writing. And use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift.
All right, you guys, we actually got a lot of like, I don't want to say training questions, but like more like triathlon questions. I know.
We're only triathlon-ish. So we'll-ish answer them-ish.
Can you please discuss the new trend of putting a water bottle in the front of the jersey? Is it full or empty? All right, Sarah, did you do this at Kona?
I did not, but it shouldn't matter for the aerodynamics, because that's why you do it.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if the aerodynamics is full or empty. It matters whether or not it's legally allowed if it has water in it or not.
Mm. Oh. But you could just put like 3 drops of water and be like, this is holding my water.
Right. Because if it doesn't have water in it, then it's fairing, right? And it's not legal.
It didn't recently get disqualified or whatever it is. It like got banned by the, maybe the UCI.
UCI,
the cycling.
Banned. Yep. UCI banned the front water bottle, which I feel like, I mean, I assume everybody knows what we're talking about. Does everybody know what we're talking about?
Maybe they don't. And that's why we need to discuss it.
All right. Why don't you explain it, Jocelyn?
Okay. So you've seen like all these pro triathletes stuffing things down the front of their bike jerseys. Some look really stupid. There's been like full-on like bladders. There's been just like a bike bottle or a water bottle. There's been like 3D printed fairings. And then there was, I guess, someone actually did studies showing that it is more aerodynamic. So now so many people are doing it. But there's not a rule banning them yet.
I think there's about to be. I'm like 98% sure that is not going to be allowed anymore. And I don't know how they're going to write the rule. Maybe they're just going to be like, you can like no additional materials on the front of your, I don't know how they're going to
no
write it.
No stuffing things in your shirt, but then you're going to have someone be like, oh, this is a medical device.
But I was like, obviously you can stuff, like I stuff food in my sports bar, right? Like obviously you can.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to write it, but.
Unless they do like a size limitation.
Nice. They're like, I'm sorry, your boobs are too big.
Like the super shoes, like, okay, they're allowed, but they can only be this stack height. So now they're going to have like these like containers. Like when you check in your bags at the airport, the carry-ons have to fit into this box. So there's going to be these boxes at the races where it's like, whatever you put inside your jersey has to fit into this small box.
Exactly. It's going to be just like that. That's exactly what I imagined, Jocelyn.
Or you have to run with it. That's the punishment.
There you go. I like that better. Because I saw, like, I was standing, like, in Nice. It was, like, this really long transition. I was standing at the very end, so I could, like, right on the fence in the pro transit. So basically, I could see all the guys running and then, like, making the turn towards their bikes. And Joe Skipper was like trying to zip up his thing around this like massive camelback bladder that he like couldn't get down his shirt, and he's trying to zip it up, and he's like bobbling everywhere and like wiggle it. Like, and I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, so yeah.
I mean, the water bottles, so safety wise, do you remember when, I know there's so many less people that race with road bikes anymore at triathlons, but you remember how they are like, you always had to have the bar end caps in,
yeah,
and like
still
people
like,
would...
still like a thing that, yeah, they get obsessed about.
So yeah, because you can impale yourself with your handlebar.
In all fairness, I think this is one of those, like, I like one woman did it one time when she crashed, the handlebar like went into her thigh and like hurt, right? Like, as you hear the one horror story over and over, and then suddenly it's kind of like, you know, like when there's like regulations because like one person like accidentally caught themselves on fire, and then like everything has to be covered in flame retardant. It feels like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, but I feel like a camelback bladder or like a water bottle, if you crash, like that's not really going to hurt you too much, but like a 3D printed fairing that you stick on, like good, that no. Sounds like you could like puncture a lung or something crazy.
Yeah. So I don't see it happening, sticking around. Here's the next thing they want us to, can you talk about the clustering of almost all the North American Ironmans in the fall and how this may affect qualifying in numbers for Nice and then Kona the following year? Are there any rumblings about these races moving or new Ironmans, you know, in North America?
Yeah, it is such a weird calendar.
It's so weird, yeah. I really, really, really thought, like, back in the summer when it was, like, becoming clear that this was the calendar, I really thought Ironman was going to announce a new race for, like, the spring or early mm-hmm. summer next year. Like, I even went to them and was like, is this the final calendar? Because this seems crazy. And they didn't. Like, they didn't. But they did really say, like, I think there's going to be some changes for the following year. Basically, I think there are going to be changes because it makes no fucking sense right now, you know?
No, I mean, there's nothing. It's really dismal.
There's literally, until August, so all the way up until mid-August, the only races in North America are Placid and Texas.
So you're saying no rumblings, because you know all the rumblings.
But I mean, I feel confident they're going to have to, because... I mean, they literally shot themselves in the foot for Nice qualifying.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, that's why they're having the 70.3 slots. Right. And
yeah, they had to, because like it made like literally all the races where you could qualify in North America were within like 5 weeks of Kona this year. So like so then people were texting me like, oh my God, there were only 300 and something women who finished Arizona. And you're like, no shit, man. Like, they all did Kona. Like, it's the same demographic. It's the same pool of people. So yeah, it's a huge problem. It's ridiculous.
That's how few it was? Wow.
Yeah, at Arizona, yeah. I think it's just because when you have... The other thing was, like, California was a week after Kona, and that also had, like, only 300, 400 people. So when you have those two races that are the same market, because, like, California, Arizona are the same market, that are also, like, a week and 3 weeks after Kona, right? Like, it's just, like, you're... And then you also have Cozumel. Like, that's just too many...
And Florida.
Right, but I'm saying, like, those three are all the same time zone, same market, same people. Like, not, like, they're like, who's going to do all those races? Like, you can't have, there's a limited pool of people. They can't do Kona and California and Arizona and Cozumel. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's another one added to the calendar. I don't know when or where it could possibly be, but that seems bizarre to me. But rumblings, I don't know anything about rumblings.
I haven't heard any rumblings. I haven't heard, like, any new location or anything. I feel like it's time for a new location, for sure, but I haven't heard any. I know, like, California's contract is signed in, so it's, like, certain ones are, like, not moving, you know what I mean? Because, like, they're locked in.
Hmm.
But
we'll see.
But it feels like there needs to be another, like, May or June race.
Sure. Well, they took away St. George a while ago.
Yeah, and Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene, yeah, that's kind of sad that Coeur d'Alene went away.
Well, it became a half. I don't know, maybe one of those will come back. Maybe that's what'll happen. Okay, now some people want our advice. Are you ready? What are your thoughts on using super shoes for extra help for recovery as opposed to looking for speed, like running with them in your training races to get up to like longer distances? Pace is not my concern, but being able to add miles is. Would you recommend super shoes for this purpose? And like, which runs would you use them for?
I would use them sparingly because there's some evidence to suggest that it leads to more lower leg injury. Like definitely some hamstring stuff in a lot of folks. So you don't want to get injured in your attempts to, you know, get a little extra squish. If you're going to go that route, there are some more squishy foams without being super shoes, like without the plates. That's what I would recommend.
Like the recovery.
Yeah. Well, it's just less impact. Like you get the right kind of foam. Sure. So, but yeah, I would avoid like straight up super shoes, race flats for too much. I will only wear them like maybe once a week during peak training. Mm-hmm. And that's at most. I know some folks who wear them all the time, but they also tend to have more lower leg problems. yeah. So there's a trade-off. It does help with recovery. But if you can try to find something that's a little bit more forgiving, you know, in terms of foam, go that route.
Is the problem that the listener is asking about, like, being able to run longer or just, like, recover faster?
They're basically saying they want to be able, like, they are not able to get up their mileage. And so they want to get their mileage up and get longer runs in. Yeah, and I agree. I wouldn't suggest.
To me, it almost sounds like this person might have like a biomechanical issue. And so my advice is not necessarily like go for super shoes, which, yeah, I don't think that's the purpose of them either.
They do. I mean, they do help, or you do recover faster for sure.
Absolutely. But yeah, but they use similar foams in more training based shoes. So like I would differentiate between those.
Yeah, maybe go to a running specialty store and ask them about training shoes that will help with recovery rather than the super shoe carbon plated one, and possibly work with a running physical therapist and see if there's something you're doing, or like, is it something with your form that is why you can't increase your mileage?
So I would say if you're going to prioritize like speed, I mean, they say speed kills. Like speed tears you up more than anything else.
I thought you were talking about like the driving signs that are like speed kills.
Oh no.
Or the drug.
Yeah. In terms of running, like that is the hardest to recover from. That's the one that has the most impact. So save your super shoes for those. Maybe like as you start doing more kind of race specific long run workouts, use your super shoes for those. But just like a straight up long run, I mean, part of that wear and tear, like recovery, you want it. Like that's how you get gains. So I would have a question of like, you know, it all depends what kind of mileage this person has. There are a lot of different factors.
Yeah. But we do not recommend super shoes as the go-to for upper
miles. Not every day.
No.
Definitely not every day shoe.
All right. Here is a above average age group triathlete, self-described, wondering what it takes to become successful at draft legal racing. What is the best use of their time to get faster the next few months and not get blown out of the water? Is it like all about the swim? They're kind of intimidated about getting into draft legal. I'm going to throw this one to Sarah.
Sarah has the most draft legal experience, I'm pretty sure.
All right. I would say there are three things that really make it quite different. One is like the swim is all about probably the first 200 meters and positioning. So like you really do want to work on your get out speed in the swim. Two, bike handling skills and comfort in a pack. Like that is obviously a huge part. So being comfortable riding with other people and finding a good draft and just being really confident with your bike handling skills. And three, it's more variable pace. So like it's a lot more of a stochastic effort, especially on the bike. Like it's, you know, you think of a non-draft race, you want to sustain pretty similar power over the course of it. Whereas you get these huge spikes and low drop downs, and there are times where you're like, you're barely pedaling because you're in the draft. Other times you're like out of the saddle, max watts. So it's just so much bigger demands. So like you want to think about increasing your threshold ability and working on some high end speed and power stuff and being able to recover quickly from those. So that would be like the three main things that make it really different.
The three main things that she needs to work on is get out speed in the swim.
Yes.
Handling and positioning on the bike.
Yes.
And then top end efforts basically on the bike.
Like more like stochastic effort. So like, you know, being so variable pace.
What is, I haven't heard of stochastic.
I was going to say your vocab this week.
What's stochastic mean, Sarah?
So like their highs and lows and like, you know, it's undulating pace.
Okay.
You go high, you go low. Like it's all over the place.
I was like, what is the base word there? Stochastic.
Is it staccato? Like musically?
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be the base word.
It's spelled quite differently.
Oh, can you spell it?
Can you spell it?
I was the middle school spelling bee champion.
You guys, this is a podcast. We're not going to watch Sarah Google how to spell something.
Okay? No. I'm looking up the etymology of stochastic. Okay. Continue with the questions while I look up the etymology.
While she looks this up. You guys, the next question is, what is your favorite swim bike run? And I don't know if they meant what's your favorite out of those three, what's your favorite place, what's your favorite workout. I think you could interpret the question as you see fit.
Oh, I interpreted it as like location, because I know my favorite swim in an Ironman was the one at Cozumel, because it was like super clear and you could see starfish and little tropical fishies. And it's also fast.
So you interpret it as what is your best, like, what is your favorite place?
Swim venue. Yeah. Swim
venue.
That's how
Lake Placid swim course.
Not on the second loop when you're getting like.
Yeah.
The first loop of Lake Placid.
First loop. Now I'm stuck, guys. Oh, Whistler. Did you guys ever do Whistler?
No.
Oh, that's a really, because it's like mountains, you know what I mean? Like one of those lakes with like the snow-capped mountains. There you go. Okay, did you look this up? Are you ready?
Oh, yes. So stochastic comes from the Greek, able to guess, aim at.
Oh.
From Greek stochastikos.
Oh, so it's like stochastic?
Yeah,
S-T-O?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like,
so it's really basically not just random.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So you should practice random intervals. Is what we are getting from this. That would be actually kind of like, that would be a workout where you like never knew what the next thing was going to be, and it just like popped up on your like bike computer or something.
And we all need to work on our Greek.
Also
apparently.
Apparently.
All right. Favorite, but we only did swim. What's your favorite bike and run then?
For a race or just in general?
Well, we interpreted the question as your favorite location, venue. What's your favorite bike venue?
Well, bike course. Okay, bike course.
I'm going to go with Ironman Wisconsin. I actually really like that one. It's quite fun. But I also really like Rolly Hills, right? Like, that's like my favorite. So.
Yeah, I have, I was actually going to say Wisconsin too, but I think because that was my very first one. And so it has a special place in my heart.
It's not like the prettiest, right? Like obviously there are prettier ones, but it's like that's like the kind that I really like do well at. I will say the Alcatraz course is very fun and like gorgeous and like crazy, but you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah's still thinking about her answer. She doesn't have one.
No favorite.
I don't have one.
Okay,
no.
Do you have a favorite run, Sarah? Do you want
to I really like Ironman Frankfurt run or Hamburg. Back when I did short course, just really good spectators. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. You ready for the last question? Here's the last question we're going to close out on. What is your hottest hot take?
I don't know what that means.
You don't know what a hot take is?
But how can you have a hot take?
No, what is your hottest hot take is basically like, what is your hot take that's like the most controversial, the spiciest. Like, clearly mine is that croissants are overrated. Like, let's be real, right? Like, that's obviously
I think it's the bacon. It's when you mentioned bacon.
Okay, yeah. I'll tell you. Okay, so when it comes to triathlon, though, like, my hottest hot take is that there should be mandatory upgrades for people who win the overall amateur enough times, or, like, are the top five at Kona overall. And I'm not saying your age group. Overall, enough times. You should eventually be forced, like, let's face it, at that point, you are not really at age, like, often they're on sponsor, right? Like, there should be a point, and I'm not saying it's the first time, but at some point you should be forced to upgrade. And I'm perfectly fine too with there being, I'm perfectly fine with there being like downgrades eventually too, right? Like, sure. But I think we're all sick of the person who like wins the overall seven times. And has,
you mean like
full sponsorship contracts
and or the like, so-called yeah. masters?
It's fine. Masters I'm not going to name names. I know like people. I know individuals do it. I'm not like even like I know individuals do it for all kinds of reasons. Right? There's all kinds of personal life choices. Like I'm racing amateur right now because I like super down. Like I was forced downgraded from pro racing, and I haven't raced in forever. But I do think my hottest hot take is that like cycling, you should be forced to upgrade eventually.
Is spicy.
I really agree with you, and I don't know that I have a spicier hot take because this gets it kind of gets me fired up too.
Sarah's now still thinking about what hot takes are.
Yeah, because it's everything like I think of is lame.
No, now I want to know what is your lamest hot take, Sarah?
That Iron Man's dying.
You know how like when people are like, okay, this is one of my favorite things. When
I mean,
are like,
it kind of is.
Well, yeah. But you know when people are like, my take is rules are rules. And you're like, that's not a take.
Or, actually, like, I have one. Is that the Ironman World Championship should not always be in Kona.
That's a take. There you go. I agree
and
with that one.
Yes, that is. Okay, I'll have that as I really like your hot take, but this is one of my hot takes is that Kona is overrated. Ooh.
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 Just like bacon.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, Sarah, I feel like hot takes are not really Sarah Chu's thing. I'm just going to throw that out there.
My hot take is that it gets really hot and climate change is going to make it worse for races.
Solid.
Yes.
They're like accurate. Yes. I also like, so this is like when people do like my take and then they just restate a fact. So yeah, that would be an example of stating a fact.
I mean, it's a hot take.
That's true.
It's yep. literally a hot take.
Exactly.
The hottest.
Boom. All right. So that wasn't everybody's questions. But I felt like we got through, I mean, we're almost at an hour. We got through a lot of questions in our first ever AUA episode.
So are we going to save other questions for next week?
There were not enough. Yeah, there were a couple more. We could like do the other, we could do a few more next week if we want to. Or if people send in any more, you could like close this out here and give them our voicemail. And I guess if people send any more, we could do a listener question or two every week now.
What? Then I don't have to ask really random questions.
And then it'll be more interactive.
There you go. That's what we're looking for in our podcast, more interactivity.
Okay, I was a little nervous you were going to say interesting, but that's, thank you.
I think we're very interesting.
Well, because of my questions specifically. Yeah. I was feeling very
random questions. Oh, my favorite one is still the one about, was it the whale, the orcas with the salmon on their head?
We yeah, you know, people learn things on our podcast.
Okay. So, like, Sarah, you want to close us out there?
You know, I know. Okay. Random factoid. What percentage do you think of Americans don't wear a seatbelt?
43.
Ooh.
43?
No, it's gotta be low. It's gotta be like 5%.
Excellent guess. It's 8%.
Oh, all right.
Well, thank you for listening to another informative episode of If You're Writing. Please send in voicemails or questions because, yeah, it sounds like we want to skew things a little bit more interactive with you all.
None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.